Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk.
Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to the Father.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to the Father.
To God be glory forever.
To God be glory forever.
Alleluia, amen.
Alleluia, amen.
Alleluia, amen.
Alleluia, amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to the Son.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to the Son.
To God be glory forever.
To God be glory forever.
Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah, amen.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to the Spirit.
Glory to God, glory to God.
Listen to the voice raised in creation. Listen even if you don't understand. Listen to the word that God has spoken. Listen to the word whose voice has come. Listen to the voice which began creation. Listen to the voice you don't understand. Listen even if you don't understand.
The Gospel is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34.
Glory to Christ our Savior.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have said truly that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel.
Praise to Christ.
So, listen. That's not a command, that's a title of my sermon this morning. Listen. Shema is the word, and that's what it means. Hear, O Israel, listen. I wonder if you are a good listener. Put up your hand if you think you're a good listener. Simon, oh, he's going to be busy afterwards this morning. You're the only person. Well, I try to be a good listener. We probably all do. It's an attractive trait in someone, isn't it? You know, you speak warmly of somebody who's a good listener. Because listening lies at the very heart of relationship. It means that we're open to the other, that we respect him or her, that their perceptions and feelings matter to us. A good parent listens to their child. A good employer listens to his or her worker. A good company listens to its clients or customers. Well, they make out they do, anyway. A good leader listens to those he or she leads. Listening doesn't mean agreeing with, but it does mean caring about what is heard. Listening is the climate, if you like, in which love and respect can grow. How interesting that when Jesus is asked to reduce the whole of the divine revelation down to its essential core, he starts by picking out the words of Moses to the people of Israel as they are on the threshold of the promised land. That's a metaphor for all of us, on the threshold of the promised land. Here's what matters. And Jesus begins with the words of the Shema. Hear, O Israel. We've read it already this morning in our liturgy. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The emphasis on that first part is hearing. Hear, O Israel, listen. In the fullest sense of listening and valuing and internalizing this revelation. Shema, listen. Jonathan Sacks, the former chief rabbi has written that the Shema is fundamentally untranslatable into English, since it means so many things: to hear, to listen, to pay attention, to understand, to internalize, to respond, to obey. Judaism is a religion of listening, he says. That's one of its most, he says, one of its most original contributions to civilization, the spirituality of listening. What he means by that is that, if you will, the twin foundations on which Western civilization, Western culture was built, was ancient Greece and ancient Israel, and that there was this great difference between them. Greece was profoundly a visual culture. Hellenism was based on a kind of visual metaphor. Its greatest achievements had to do with the eye and with seeing, and it produced some of the greatest art and sculpture and architecture the world's ever seen. And its characteristic events and gatherings, theatrical performances and Olympic Games and so on, there were spectacles, you know, which may be where the word comes from. Did you find any spectacles, by the way? Did you got some? There you go. Is it what do you need? Anybody got a pair of twos that Pete could read? And then the music will be better this morning. There you are. Right. So that's what Hellenism was about, spectacles. Plato, in one line, thought of knowledge as a kind of depth of vision, seeing beneath the surface to the true form of things. This idea that knowing is seeing remains a dominant metaphor even in our culture. We speak of insight and of foresight and of hindsight. We offer observations. We adopt a perspective. We illustrate. We illuminate. We shed light on an issue. When we understand something, we say, "I see." Judaism was offering an alternative. It is a faith in God who we cannot see, a God who cannot be represented visually. The very act of making a graven image a visual symbol was understood as a form of idolatry. Moses reminded the people when they had a direct encounter with God at Mount Sinai, "You heard the sound of words, but saw no image. There was only a voice." For the Greeks, the ideal form of knowledge involved detachment. There is one who sees the subject, and there is that which is seen, the object. And they are in two different realms. When I look at the clock, actually, I don't know how the clock got back up on the wall, because we took it down yesterday. Ruth did it. Well done, Ruth. When I look at the clock on the wall, or the sculpture, or the play in the theatre, it is not part of the art or the drama or the competition. I'm a spectator, not a participant. Speaking and listening are not forms of detachment. They're forms of engagement, because they create a relationship. The Hebrew word for knowledge, da'at, implies involvement, closeness, and intimacy. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and gave birth. That is knowing in the Hebrew sense, not the Greek. We enter into a relationship with God even though God is infinite and we are finite. because we are linked in revelation. God speaks to us. In prayer, we speak to God. If we want to understand any relationship between friends or partners or parent and child or employer and employee, we pay close attention to how they speak and listen to one another. Judaism taught that we cannot see God, but we can hear God, and God hears us. It is through speaking and listening that we can have an intimate relationship with God as parent, as partner, as sovereign, the one who loves us and whom we love. We cannot demonstrate God scientifically. We cannot prove God logically. These are Greek, not Jewish ways of thinking. And all of this is what gives such profound power and depth to the Christian understanding that in Christ the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's not much recorded about what Jesus looked like. I don't know if there's anything. Although there's an enormous significance in his physical presence. But there's no end to how we listen to him and still are listening. So there's something profoundly spiritual about listening. How can we expect God to listen to us if we fail to listen? If we fail to listen to our partner, our children, or those affected by our work? How can we expect to encounter God if we have not learned to listen? Listening, says Sachs, is the prelude to love. The prelude to love. You'll remember that the Shema is the sentence with which the service of the synagogue always begins. It is the declaration that God is the only God, the foundation of monotheism. So we are actually, this was true in ancient Judaism, so we're close to that in our ritual, in our weekly recitation of this verse near the start of our communion service each week. That seems to me a remarkable continuity about that. Again, you might know or remember the passages. It's a longer thing, the Shema, than what is quoted here today, but you'll know or remember that it was contained in phylacteries, which were little leather boxes which the devout Jew wore, and I think still do, on the forehead and on the wrist when at prayer. And this was also contained in a little cylindrical box called the mezuzah, which was, and I think still is, affixed to the door of every Jewish house, and the rationale is in the reading we had today. To remind the person living there of God in every arrival and every departure. What is remembered and rehearsed intellectually in the heart and emotionally and spiritually in the soul finds material expression in the mundane reality of everyday things. It's an attempt, if you like, to listen in as full a sense of listening as possible. I wonder how we might take this seriously, more seriously for ourselves. How do we keep the great essential core of our faith close to us? Well, coming together on Sunday is one obvious answer to that, and a very definite and a concrete answer. It's not something that's as easy to do as it once was. Our corporate times, which we've been practicing in the last year or so of listening in silence once a month, that's become, for me, an important part of our worshipping life. In participating in this great rhythm of prayer and silence and song, and prioritizing it in our lives, we're responding, That's one way of responding to the Shema. Listen, listen. And what are we internalizing in that practice? That God is the only God, and all that this implies for our lives. Yes. And when Jesus quoted this sentence as the first commandment, every Jew would have agreed with him. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. This is a quotation from Leviticus chapter 19. And in Leviticus chapter 19, the neighbor is described as anyone of your kin, but also the poor and the alien, the foreigner, who are to benefit from the harvest. And the new thing that Jesus did was to put these two commandments together. Religion to Jesus was loving God and loving people, and the only way in which we can meaningfully love God is to enact God's love of all people. And it's something terribly pleasing about the scribe character in the gospel reading today, willingly accepting this and going on to say that love is better than all religious observance. And as religious people, need to remember that.
Holy, 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 God of power and might.
Holy, 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 God of power.